Hey guys, welcome to this week's Move Makers. I am excited. I think I say that every week, but I am excited every single week for you to meet our guest. And this week is no exception. I am interviewing Donna Dotson from Do Dotson Design. And I love this lady for so many reasons. I have been blessed to know her for several years, and every time I talk to her, I usually end up in tears. That's real life, because we talk real life. We talk about the good, the bad, and everything in between. And she just always has such words of blessings for my life. And I know today you will also hear that in her voice. She is a talented furniture painter. She is amazing at staging her pictures. She is just multi-talented. So I am excited for you to get to meet her this week. So, hey, Donna, how are you?
Hey, Angie, thanks so much for inviting me.
I am so excited for you to be here and for everyone to, if they don't know you, to get to know you through this podcast this week.
Oh, thank you. I would love to get to know more about your followers.
Yeah, they are fun and they will love you, because a lot of them have the same beginnings that we have. So why don't you tell everyone your business name, a description, and where you're located?
Okay. Well, my name is Donna Dotson, AKA, I always say my name is Do, because that's my nickname and that's what I go by. I'm the owner and creator of Do Dotson Designs. I live in a small town, Canton, Texas, which is about 60 miles southeast of Dallas, Texas. And what's special about our little town, and I always, this is my claim to fame, is that we have over 1 million people a year come to our small little town of 3,500 people for this huge flea market, which is kind of how I got started in this business, because I love junk. I'm a hoarder of only good junk. Let me just say, only good junk. And I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I'm a grandmother, as well as a business owner. And that's a whole lot of hats in this business.
I was going to say, I do know that you have a whole bunch of hats. I did not know that you lived in Canton, because there is a huge flea market there that I've never been to. And I am a lover of all good junk too. So,
right. It's all good. It's all good.
I know that you are super busy. I love seeing your posts when your grandkids, when you're with your grandkids and things. So I know you're so busy. So let's get started with the beginning. Why did you decide to start? Why did you decide a small business?
You know, and that is a really funny story, because, you know, if you don't know anything about me, I was a nurse for 33 years. I got out of high school, went to college immediately, and became a caregiver, all because of my aunt, who was like my mentor at the time, was a nurse, and I just thought she was the world. She was killed shortly after that, and I have always felt like I needed to continue that legacy for her. So being a caregiver, I've, you know, taken care of people for 33 years. And with that comes a lot of heartache, a lot of struggle. It physically is very, very hard. And after 33 years, you know, I'm 55 now, but when I quit, you know, it was hard. And I, and a lot of people don't know this about me, is a lot of businesses too, business owners, the commonality I feel as we get older is that it's physically hard, this labor that we do working 9 to 5. So I would have to say that was one of the reasons that I quit, is because I needed something, a job or something that was a little easier on my bones. And also time. I needed more time to care for those people now in my life, like my mother and my father, who are aging, so that I have a job that I can make money and still free up my time to care for them. And so that's also a part of my role still, is that I'm still a caregiver, but now not for my patients, but for my family, and to have more time with my grandkids, because I have 6 beautiful grandchildren now.
How fun is that? And I love that story. I love that, you know, you were a nurse. That's a great career, and that you knew that it was time to make a change. What is the best thing about running your own business? I mean, you've had the career, you've worked the 12-hour shifts and all of that, but now you own your own business. What's the best thing?
Really just this and this probably sounds so cliche because I think a lot of people feel this way when they run their own business, is the flexibility to work when I want to work for family, for my parents. And not just that, you know, and I know we talk about, for me, starting a business was more than just making money. It really was. It was, I felt like I was going through an identity crisis, I think, at the moment, of knowing who I was and what I was actually giving back to what God has given me. Caring for others is the best thing, because I mean, what I did was taking care of others and making critical decisions, whether they live and die. I mean, I know, and I get it. That's big, but there was something missing inside of me that I needed to express. And I've always been a creative. I've always needed that creative outlet, but throughout my life, I've done a lot of creative expressions. And I'm one of those who needs multiple outlets. I don't need just one. I need multiples. And I could tell you stories and stories and stories of each thing that I've started in my life and completed. And it's like once you do this one thing and you express yourself, but then you feel like you're completed, you move to the next task. You move to the next creativity. And one of the really big things that I did in my through my life was I would pick something that was hard to do. Something that was creative, but that was hard to do. And one of the things that was very hard for me was I decided I wanted to join an equestrian drill team. I know that sounds really crazy, but that was just at the moment I needed to express myself in another way. And I have a huge heart for animals. I love animals. But I took my horse and I tried out for this equestrian drill team. And what we did was we traveled all over the United States and we performed halftime shows at rodeos, and it was put to music. So it was like a choreograph, and that was super cool because I can't dance. I just cannot dance, but my horse is good at it. So through this time, I probably did this for about 10 years until I got really good at it. And then I was done with it. I just decided I didn't want to do with it anymore. So then I moved to the next thing and the next thing. And this is probably one of the reasons too that I'd have why I wanted to start my business, because with this part of the business, the creativity is endless. I mean, I've got furniture upon furniture. I've got all the things that I can do. And then when I got to a point to where I could share with others and I started blogging, that opened up a whole new field for me in the business. And you know, like all creatives, there is a number of things we can choose to do. There's not just one thing. There's so many different avenues that you can share your creativity.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we started recording the podcast. Because right before recording this podcast, I took a week off of social media. And I came back saying, you know what? I'm three in one in my business. And I think sometimes as creatives, we use that as the thing that holds us back, but it's actually the thing that makes us unique and beautiful and who we are, is when we can take our multi-talents and use them. And so I love that story.
I totally agree. And we do that. I think as a creative, we have to have that. We have to have multiple outlets. I know I have to have something creative in my life. I've been that way all my life, like I said, and just choosing different things along the path, things that are presented in front of us. We look at it and try to mold it and see what we can do to put our own spin on it. So, you know, self-expression is a huge part of the business and a huge part of why I wanted to do this too. I mean, it's not just for money. The money is great. Don't get me wrong, because I'm a strong businesswoman. I believe in getting paid for what you do, but to be able to express yourself and get paid at the same time, that is a win. That is a huge win in life. And all the lives that you get to impact and you get to come across, all the women like you, Angie Bauer, that I get to meet, this has been the most incredible journey, you know, and I kind of feel bad sometimes because I look back at the 33 years I spent in nursing and it was great, but it's strangely enough, this is almost more satisfying.
And I get that. I was a school teacher and, you know, although I'm, you know, with those little ones and molding them and shaping them, you know, this part of my journey and meeting and doing is just so amazing.
It is
hard to describe sometimes.
It is very hard to describe. So when you ask these questions, I'm like going really deep in my head, trying to pull this stuff out, because it is hard to describe, but it is just who we are. And I think your listeners are going to understand that. They're going to get it. They're going to go, oh, me too. And that's something along the journey that I hear all the time, is when I talk and I speak to other women and we talk about these things, they're like, me too. I thought I was the only one on this earth that felt that way. And I was like, oh no, honey, there's so many of us out there. And this is a huge movement right now. I really feel like this is a movement for women in business to be able to express themselves in another way and still be able to make money and be proud of what you do.
I wholeheartedly, that is one of my like mantra paths that I am on, is that this time of in life for women, and for them to stand up and use their gifts, maybe it's not creative, maybe it's something else that God gave them. I mean, the God-given gifts inside of you that God gave you for women to use, it's an amazing time. And I feel so blessed because I'm surrounded by really strong women, such as yourself. But I just see women, this is the time. And if we really look inside of ourselves and see what God gave us as a gifting and are able to step out of the fear, which we're going to talk about in a second,
yes,
and anxiety, and I've got to be everything to everyone else, I don't have time for myself, we're world changers.
Yes.
We're community changers. We're family changers.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with you on that one. Yes.
It's just so cool. And I was actually talking to someone, and you know, they're getting held back by fear and anxiety, and they can't just take that next step because they're like, but I'm a mom. And I'm like, I'm a mom, I'm a grandma, like I am that, but I'm this too.
And you know, it's really hard for, I don't know why we label ourselves as a mom and a grandma. And those are wonderful titles. Believe me when I say, when I hear my grandkids call me grandmother, it takes me back to a place, and that's another story, when the relationship that I had with my grandmother. But we get lost in those identities and we don't see the bigger picture. Like you said, God gave us our creativity for a reason. And it wasn't just to paint a pretty picture. It wasn't just to paint a pretty piece of furniture, but it was to share with others and to encourage others. It's not just about the photos that you take. It's not about the social media. It's the interaction. It is the, you know, being with your people and inspiring them to help them get to another level. We are all here. We put here for a reason, and that's to help others. And I think we get lost in that and we don't realize this is our journey, is to help other people. No matter what you're doing, you have to help people through that.
Exactly. And it's the words, and it's being the example of moving forward and taking just that one step and just being just that little bit ahead and having someone up come behind you. You know, you don't have to be miles and miles ahead to turn around and help someone.
Absolutely. You know,
half a step sometimes. I mean, it's
holding them up. I mean, it doesn't take much. And we all know we've had that one little thing in our life. Somebody said one thing or they did one thing and it made such a huge impact in who you are even. So it doesn't take much, just a little bit. Yeah,
exactly. And I think that is one of the best things. You know, we talk about flexibility, we talk about time, we talk about all of that and running our business. But for me, that is one of the best things about running my own business and being where I am. And even the social media component of it, you know, we can scream and want to rip our hair out sometimes on the social media part, but it's also the best because it's where we get to connect. Do you feel that?
Oh, on a deeper level, on a super deep level. I've never had a lot of friends per se. I mean, we have a lot of acquaintances, but the word friend means something really deep to me. It means commitment. It means loyalty. I don't have a huge amount of friends. I know a lot of people, especially with what I did being in nursing, you run across people all day long, you know, but it's a deeper type of connection. It's an emotional connection. It's encouragement. It's all those things. And as much as social media gets such a bad rap for being such a platform for, you know, all the negativity, I think as creatives in this industry, we have turned it around to a positive. And I love that so much. So I am a big fan of social media. A lot of people still, especially my age, don't want to have anything to do with it because I'm 55 plus. So, you know, I want to pave the way for other people my age and other women that are 50 plus that want to start a business to know it's okay to be on social media because there's a whole nother group of women and men out there who are doing just what you do. And you're not going to find them next door to you. You're not going to find them in church with you. You're going to have to go out and search for these people. And that's where you're going to find them on social media.
Yes, I agree. I agree totally. What have you struggled most with in your business?
Oh, I know you can just see me shaking my head right now. The struggles are real. The struggles are so real for everybody. And you know, I think having social media out there, we're looking at everybody and everything looks perfect. Everything is picture perfect. And they're thinking this person's got it all together. Everything looks great. And the reality is that we all struggle. You know, probably my biggest struggle is myself. Is my confidence to put myself out there as an influencer, as a business coach. Let's talk about those words. When you title yourself and you label yourself on social media, you're opening yourself up for your target, your human target at that point. And we're always self-doubting. Do I know enough to coach? Do I know enough to teach someone to do photography? Do I know enough to do this? And the reality and the truth is that yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's no different than a young person going to college, getting out, having a degree, and then going in and getting a job. And we don't relate to that. We just think for some reason that we're not worthy to step into these titles and go out and help others. And we so are. It's no different than going to college and getting a degree. Think about it. I mean, you get out of college, you were a teacher, you were green. All you knew is what you knew. I was a nurse. Hello. I was responsible for people living and dying. And all I did was go to school and come out and they threw me to the dogs. I'm like, I had to go and take care of somebody. That's scary stuff. But because I had that piece of paper that says I could do it, then I did it. It's no different for us creatives. We do the same thing.
I love that. I think that was a word for me, but it can be a word for someone else. I'll let someone else have it too. But I think so often that's true, that we negate our steps before us that we learn from, our trips, our falling down a hole and climbing back out, all those things that we've learned that we can help someone else. And I love that because as a teacher, I remember the first day of school.
You remember how scary it was, right? I remember the first time I stuck a needle in someone. I was like, oh, I was mortified. Like, I can't do this. Nobody taught me. Well, you don't get taught that. You do it. So you do it. You implement it as you learn how to do it. And we do the same thing in business.
Yeah. I learned don't turn your back to the classroom because I get a chair in the back of my head. Like, that was my first day of school. I taught first grade, by the way. So, a chair in the back of the head because I turned my head completely to the class and I quickly learned you stand sideways when you talk to the class. You know,
hard life lessons. A lot of people don't know that in nursing, you don't work in one field. You work in multiple fields throughout your career because as nurses, we get burned out really quickly. So we change. Like every 5 years, we go to something different. One of the things I did was work in the infirmary in the county jails. And talk about interesting.
Talk about learning quick.
I also held a license for a jailer. I mean, so I can take you down and I can hold you down and, you know, restrain you and cuff you and do all that. And I can still take care of you at the same time. So, you know, you learn these things, you go through these classes and then you implement them. And we're always so nervous about putting these titles on ourselves, but people do it every day. It's no different really, but we hold ourselves back.
we do hold ourselves back. So I love that the struggle was you. So we've talked about the struggles. Let's talk about failures.
Ooh.
It's my favorite F word.
Yes, absolutely.
It is the most freeing word.
Yes, it is.
When we turn around the meaning of it. And so whenever I ask this question, because it's not on the questions you guys get, so I always love to throw it in there. But everybody's like, failures. And you kind of see, because I can see you guys as I record this, kind of like slink down in their chairs. But failures really should make us sit up.
Absolutely.
It should really be the thing that's like, boom, I failed, and look at me. I stood back up.
Yes. And so many people look, and I totally look at that word differently now. I really, really do. And it's because I've come through a life of hard knocks, mm-hmm. not just in, you know, in my business, but as a child, even all the things that have happened to us and all the failures and all the things, and we call them failures, but they're not really failures. They're learning moments. Mm-hmm. Learn not to do this. There's no way that you can not fail in life and learn from it. So it's a learning opportunity. So I always embrace it. I was like, go out there and fail. Go try everything you can try and fail miserably at it. I mean, don't just fail. I mean, you really, really fail.
Yeah.
You fall hard. You skin your knees. But guess what? That gives you the opportunity to get up and be better, because it takes practice. You don't start walking right away as a child. You don't. You take one step and you fall. Then you get up and you take two steps and you fall. I mean, it's a repetitive over and over and over. So the word fail really has a negative connotation. I don't even know how to say that. It has a negative feel. Thank you. A negative feel. But it's really not. It's actually learning. And if we can embrace those failures and know that we have to try, and the good is going to come from that, because you're going to learn, you're going to get the knowledge, and you're going to learn not to do it that way. And then you're going to do it the right way. So that's just a part of the win, is failing.
Exactly. You can't win without some fails.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. You won't talk to anyone in business that said, I wanted everything. It was the greatest. Every idea I had was like amazing. No, they're going to be like, 99 of them were complete fails,
mm-hmm.
but I learned and I changed and I learned and I changed. So do you mind sharing
my biggest failure?
Sure.
I have so many. Just, I mean, I could go on and on and on. Well, let's talk about my recent really big, and I felt like a failure, and this just happened within a couple of weeks ago, because in business, when we start doing business, we don't know a lot of stuff, but because we are driven, we have the tenacity to keep trying and pushing. We do things that we probably shouldn't have done, but we do them anyway, because we don't know. And you don't know what you don't know. And this is a big saying that I teach in my coaching group. It's like, you don't know what you don't know. So just try it and see. But one of the things is that, is not knowing is a big failure on our part, because sometimes we don't want to do the work or the preparation to learn things as much as we need to. And there's a whole nother group out there who are called, let's see, what do they call them? They're like the chronic student. They're like constantly learning and taking courses and doing everything, and they never implement. And then you have another group of people like me who thinks they can conquer the world, and they step into things before they're ready. And I hesitate to say that, because I don't want somebody not to step into that, but you do need to do a little background work before you do something. So let me tell you a little story about what I did. So I'm a blogger. I have a website, and over the last couple of years, it's grown really big. And I am so thankful for that. So thankful. But at the point where you grow, where you need to migrate and you need to change over and you need to do things differently, you know, I did not do the preparation. I did not understand enough about the migration. So we did some things that didn't turn out so well. And I was about this close to throwing in the towel. And you'll never hear me say that, because I'm not one that ever quits. I am this tenacious woman who's just going to keep driving and driving, because that's what I do. But I was so close, because things were going so crazy, and I just couldn't handle all the craziness that, you know, I was to a point to where I sat down and typed it out on an email and was going to send it to everybody and say, okay, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And then I reached out to a friend of mine, and I asked her, you know, I told her what was going on. She's like, what? are you thinking? She's like, do you know what you just did 33 years of? You were a nurse. You took care of people. You did all the things. And guess what? You took care of people that could have died. She said, what you're doing now ain't hurting nobody. Nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to die from this. She's like, you need to snap out of it. I needed to hear those words. And when I heard those words, I looked back and I was like, you know, you're right. This is just a thing. I mean, we're going to fix it. It's going to take a lot of time, but we're going to fix it. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been fixing things and now things are getting back to normal. And I was just in that one spot where I just like, I can't do it. It's crazy. So I felt like a huge failure for getting to that point of saying, throwing up my hands, because that's not who I am. But to me, that was a failure, but that was such a winning failure because now I know, I'm like, there's nothing that you can't fix. Everything is doable, right? And that's my new catchphrase too. Everything is doable.
I like that because, you know, we were talking before too, and I did a live last night because I just came in, and probably for about a month, maybe even a little bit longer. Probably my brother passed away in July, so it's probably been a few weeks after that. My word has been can't. I just can't. I can't life. Yeah. I can't be a mom. I can't be a wife. I can't. And I am not someone that gives up either.
Right. Right.
I go in and I fight and I do, and I, you know, dig in. So, I get that, but I think in all those can'ts and all that, I'm just going to quit. Like, and I was there, I was like, just a push of a button. That's it. Yes. Push of a button and you can be done.
You really can. And that's a scary thought.
Yeah, it is. Cause you're like, it's just that easy. But yet I knew that I needed, and that's what I'm doing. I'm digging back in. And so I think it's interesting that we were kind of walking that same walk.
Girl, we have so much in common. And then so many creatives are on the same journey. And that is the common denominator that I see and I hear all the time. I say, we're all struggling with the same thing. This failure thing is hard. It's really hard. But if we can change that word failure into a fall instead of failing, and we just fail. I fail. So I pick myself back up. But that's why it's so important. Yeah, that's why it's so important to have a tribe, to have a group of women or men, the creatives and the network that we're building to reach out to others. And sometimes I think it's good randomly that we just reach out and check on each other. You know, you never know. And I think that's God-driven. It's totally God-driven because he put something in your head like somebody needs something. And you'll know who it is, but you just start reaching out to people. How are you today? And it opens up a can of worms and you're able to step into that role and feel that void that they're feeling at that moment. And that's what happened to me. There was a huge void that I just felt like it was an abyss. It was never ending. It was never going to stop. And I just needed it to stop. And that one person was the person who gave me those few words and said, snap out of it.
And that's cool too, how that's a word for someone, just that those few words that just taking that moment, a few words of saying, hey, you can do this. You have the strength or whatever, or, you know, I'm praying for you. Like just those few words, how important is that? And that's that connection. And I think that's another really cool thing about social media is how, especially in the world we're in the creative world, how connected we really are. And how our tribe or our group or of people who do things, how we've grown through the years and how we can go months without talking.
We go years. Yeah. I've gone years without, I've been a year since I talked to you. And it's like, and all of a sudden we're connected again and we're right back in the same spot.
I know.
We're on the same levels. We're doing the same things. It's like, it's meant to be. It's God-driven. And I know that.
It is. So what advice, because I always like to give advice and someone who's listening who wants to take this journey, what advice would you give to someone who is looking to start a business?
I wish somebody had been around to help me when I started. Mm-hmm. I always say that. Reach out to others in your industry. get in a coaching group, get with someone you trust. And I'm not saying start there and stay there forever, but you got to test, you got to get out, you got to talk to people, you got to network. Mm-hmm. And what you really need to do is work on your business mindset. Mm-hmm. Before we can even step out and even run a business, we have to understand that business. And what does that business mean? You know, it's not just about sharing. And again, you know, I'm an advocate for women in business. Knowing your value, knowing your worth, and we all struggle with that, is work on that. Work on that business mindset, because you will get nowhere until you get that in your head. And even along the way, that's going to falter. It's going to fail. You're going to have to work on that too as you grow. But, you know, right, just get surround yourself with other like-minded people, people who are in different industries than you. You don't have to be with the same people. You don't have to be with all the furniture painters. You could be with, you know, whoever down the road. I mean, I have lots of friends who do a lot of different things in business, and they don't paint furniture because they don't totally get me. They're like, she paints furniture? Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, but they do other things and draw from them that business mindset, and it can help you so much.
Yes, I agree. I so agree. What is something you kind of touched on this with that answer, but if you could go back and talk to beginning small business do, if you could tell her or wish you knew before you started, either what would you tell her or wish, what do you wish you knew before you started?
I think just that. Yeah. I did not understand the business mindset that would go with this. I just wanted to paint pretty things and take pictures and show everybody, look at me, look at me. And not even knowing that there was money attached to that. And that, you know, it wasn't just, it's growing myself. And having value in what I do. Mm-hmm. And not selling myself short, because I have done all the things for free. I have done them for free. And I will tell you, don't do it, but everybody does it in the beginning. It's just a part of the journey.
Yeah. And to give someone some hope too, pivoting, when you pivot, mm-hmm. I'm learning that by going into the social media. I've done almost a year of a free, and yes. You know, and I've done business. I consider myself a strong businesswoman, yet when I pivoted into a whole new area, mm-hmm. It was like learning something all new. It was like I was a beginning little baby of learning how to step into the social media and what it looked like. So know that if you're pivoting, if you're changing, if you're making that, you're going to make mistakes again, that you're like, dude, I know that. No, I'm not supposed to do that.
Yes. Of course. And you're right. I mean, we pivot all the time. I mean, I'm always adding another revenue stream to my business. I mean, and I teach that, you know, multiple revenue streams.
Seven.
In your business. So you're not broke, you know, you need more money coming in from different areas. So yeah, I mean, when you add something new and you're pivoting and you're changing, it's like starting all over again. It's totally starting all over again. So you have to have that business mindset and know that this is what you're going to do. But let's talk about the free aspect for a little bit, because I strongly believe that there are times that we do work for free and there's a reason. Mm-hmm. And I totally am okay with that. When you are helping someone, when you are giving what God gives you and you feel like you really strongly feel like this is what you need to do, you need to go with your intuition. Mm-hmm. You need to do that because there's a reason that that's put on your heart. I still continue, and I will advocate that it's okay for certain circumstances if you're giving to others, not because you want to go out there and tell everybody you're doing it, just because you want to do it because it's your heart.
Mm-hmm. I agree so much with that.
That's why we're givers. I mean, that's why we're creative. We are givers and we are emotional and we do feel that need to care for people. And that comes from the heart. It doesn't come attached to a dollar sign. But we do understand we have to feed our families, and that's part of it.
Yes, just like anybody getting a paycheck each week. I mean, we mm-hmm. have to. I have two kids still at home. They need to eat.
Absolutely.
They grow out of shoes and pants and all the things.
And then you get grandkids. Just wait. It's amazing.
I have a 12-week-old. I had to think. I have a 12-week-old grandson.
Oh, my goodness. I did not know that. Congratulations.
Yeah, and we watch him every day. So we have him Monday through Friday, and we watch him while his mama works. So, yeah, there's kind of a long story behind that. But, yeah, we do. Mr. He's adorable. He's upstairs with my husband right now. So let's switch to some fun questions.
Okay.
Okay. Podcast listener or book reader or both?
Oh my gosh. I'm not a book reader.
Okay.
I will tell you that up front. I have read my whole life because being in nursing, everything I read was instructional. Uh-huh. And I hated that. I'm a doer. I'm an implementer. I want to do the thing. So I don't read, and I should read more. But if I read, it's not for pleasure. It's because I'm learning something. I think that's just something that I was trained to do from early on. You read, you learn, you implement. Podcast, I would say, if I have time. I struggle in the area of having enough time to do all the things like everybody else does. So right now in my business, in this transition of growth, there's limited time to sit and actually listen to a lot of things, because a lot of things I do is on computer. Mm-hmm. And I'm traveling a lot. So that's downtime. I need to learn how to better utilize the travel time too. I could listen to a lot of podcasts. So I would have to say podcast, but definitely not a reader. Words are not my friend. And that's funny because a lot of people go, well, you're a blogger. I mean, you must be okay. No, I'm not. I struggle writing. I struggle to have the words, you know. It's okay, because if you go over to my blog over at dodotsandscience.com, you will find a typo. You're going to find, I use Grammarly. It helps, but you know, words are not my friend, and trying to put them all in is difficult for me. So,
you know, I laugh and I, you know, I have a 4-year degree, and I made it through high school and college reading one book.
I love you so much, Angie.
I did that.
I admit it, so I'm okay.
I admit it. Like, I didn't even, I just did. And it's funny because the other day I was having some quiet time, and God gave me 12 chapters to a book that I'm supposed to write.
Whoa, that's big.
Yeah, it is huge. And I've had lots of messages like, girl, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. You need to write a book. And I'm like, I'm the girl who read one book and graduated college and high school reading one book.
Oh, my goodness. I show him on that same page with you. I am. When someone says write in your journal, I freeze. When somebody says write a book, I'm like, I freeze. Words are just hard for me. And as creatives, I think that's really common too. We do things. We can express ourselves through paint and creativity, but words, no, not my friend.
I do like audiobooks. Like, I can do that when I'm driving and stuff, because I yes. drive everywhere I go. So
yes.
Yes. Okay. Favorite food.
Oh my gosh. Mention it. And I like it. I'm a foodie. I'm a foodie. I love food. My husband and I, when we travel, we try to go to different restaurants and stuff that are not, you know, little mom and pop places is what we love. Right. Oh my gosh. Anything with sugar in it. I'm a sugarholic. If you call sugar food, I guess I would have to say sugar.
I love sugar.
I always joke that I'm a big piece of chocolate cake, but not everybody loves chocolate cake, but that's okay. That is totally okay. And you're going to find that in business too. I'm going to put a little business twist on that one. So
that's cute. That's cute.
Be yourself.
I think I know the answer to the next question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Favorite TV show, movie, Netflix series? I think I know the answer, but go ahead and answer it.
I don't watch TV a lot. I mean, I don't. I just don't, because I'm so in my business and I'm always trying to better myself. I'm one of those constant people who are always working against themselves. I don't work against anybody but myself. But my husband and I, we love The Big Bang Theory. I know that's so weird. That is so weird. But that is like my favorite thing to sit down and watch because they make me laugh. And they're smart. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting entertainment, but I'm being around smart people too, because that's kind of my thing. It's like, you don't hang out with anybody that's not smarter than you because they're going to pull you up. So at least I feel like if I'm cheating and watching TV, I'm getting some funny, but I'm learning something at the same time.
That is one of our favorites in our house. My 12-year-old loves it. So
yes,
we love that one too. Favorite thing or place to go if you have free time?
Anywhere that's far away from home.
You I love to travel.
I love to travel. My husband works for a company where he works all over the world. He travels a lot. So anytime he has a place that's far away that he can go, that I can go with him, I go. But I pick and choose. Right now, he left this morning for Japan. Not a place I care to go. I just don't. I mean, we've been all over the world. We've been all over Europe. One of the places that I went that I really, really enjoyed was, what is the name of that little island? It's out in the South Pacific. Guam. We went to Guam, and that was very interesting. So I love to travel. There's not really a favorite place, just as long as it's far away from home and that I get to learn something and get to meet different people, get to taste different foods. You know, I love the whole atmosphere. I love it. Paris was amazing. I loved Paris so much.
Very cool. Why don't we talk a little bit about what you have going on in your business. Why don't you, we've talked a lot about, you know, business in general. Let's talk a little bit about what you do in your business. Is there anything you have that you want to share? Anything that you have coming up or that you do? I know some
of you. I would love to.
Share some things about your business.
Okay. Well, I am a creativepreneur business strategist, and I teach men and women how to take that creative passion that they have and take it online and make money with it. But I'm also a blogger, so I make money through blogging and affiliate marketing. And I have two subscription groups. You know, one of them is the business and one is more of the furniture painting, that type of thing. But one of my biggest things that I'm starting now, and I just got started last spring, is with the Bells and Bow Tour, which is a traveling tour of furniture painting and refinishing. And it's teaching men and women about the business aspects. Not only do you learn how to paint or how to start that piece of furniture and take it from nothing into fabulous, but you also get to learn the business end of it, in which I get to teach. And I am super excited about that part of it. So I'm not teaching a class in painting. I'm actually getting to speak and to talk, you know, business and help encourage men and women this way. And I am so excited. Our first tour is in a little less than 2 weeks. It's November the 3rd. And that is in Edison, New Jersey. And then we have another one in January in Atlanta, Georgia, January the 18th. And we've got more scheduled and planned, but we haven't released them yet. So 2020 is going to be full of travel and fun and learning. And I am so excited about this part of my business. Every time I implement something different, I get a little more excited and a little more overwhelmed because I'm just adding another piece of the puzzle. And I'm like, I don't have any more pieces left, but I somehow managed to fit them in. So that's where your team comes in. You got to have that team to kind of keep backing you up. And in this last year, I've had a phenomenal team behind me that is helping and pushing me and getting me to where I need to go, as well as my husband, who is, I joke and say he's my manager. He's my travel manager. He does all the booking and the flights and everything for me. So don't feel like if you're a business owner and you have to do it all yourself, we don't do it all ourselves. There's no way you could do it.
No, not at all. So yeah. I love all your exciting things, and I love that your tour and the coaching groups, and we'll put in the show notes for everyone so that you know how to find Donna and her website and her Facebook page and all the information. So check the show notes for all of that, and you can hook up with all the different things that she has going on. One last question for you, and everyone says it's the hardest, but I think you got it. You'll be good at it. Those lasting words, that lasting advice, those lasting words that you want to leave our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
That lasting wisdom. You're good at that.
It's because it's what I tell myself. I believe that whatever I tell myself, it should be what I tell others. I mean, you have to live your life to the fullest. And for anyone that wants to start a business, you be authentic and be true to yourself. Be who you are in words. Be who you are in your creativity. If you don't like purple, don't paint purple. Don't do it. Be who you are and be a true representative of yourself, because you're never going to have to. It's not hard. When you are authentically yourself, it becomes easy. You know, if you say, hey, y'all all the time, say, hey, y'all. You know, it's okay. You don't have to be polished. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be who you are. You will find your tribe. People will love you for who you are. Like I said, I'm a piece of chocolate cake, but not everybody likes cake. I don't understand that, but be who you are. And those people will migrate to you, and just give like you're giving to your mother or to your father. Give unconditionally. Love those no matter what. Always remember that someone is in a different spot than you, and that spot could be really bad. So if they're mean to you or they say anything ugly to you, just take it with a grain of salt, because you don't know where they're at.
Mm-hmm. I like that. You always talk right to my heart whenever I get to talk to you. You are a blessing in my life and in my business journey. And I am sure the listeners this week will... you will bless the socks off of them too. So thank you so much.
That is my true mission in this journey, is to be able to bless others. And if it does, I'm happy. I've done what I'm supposed to do.
Well, like I said, you have been more than a blessing to me, and you've picked me up and helped me along. So, well, thank you so much for your time and for being here and for recording this podcast with us.
You are so welcome. I'm so blessed that you even consider to ask me. To me, it's humbling for you to ask me to come onto your platform. I really, truly thank you. And I'm honored to be here.
Aww, thanks, sweet lady. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode with Dew Dotson. It's so fun to bring you these amazing guests. If you have not subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? And if you could leave us a review, that helps us so much in ratings, getting guests, and getting even more people listening to the podcast. I'd like you to listen to this sweet review from Whitbot. Wow, Angie's podcast was exactly what I needed to hear today. The beautiful truths and sweet reminders that I am loved, that you are loved. Amen. And thank you. I love listening to your podcast. Thank you for being real and speaking truth over us. Guys, I just love these reviews and love reading them. Until next week, keep moving forward.